Welcome to Grace and Glory Audio, featuring Pastor P.G. Matthew. Today, Pastor Matthew speaks on Thanksgiving with this message entitled, Let Us Thank Our Pastor, Part 1, preached November the 18th, 2007. If you have your Bible with you, please turn to Ezekiel chapter 34.
We thank God Triune, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God existing in three persons, Creator of heaven and earth, Creator of all things that are in them. He alone is almighty, all wise, all glorious, and all compassionate. He gave us existence through our parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents. For existence and being, let us thank God and our parents. Let's thank God for granting us all temporal provisions, food and clothing. Let us thank God for divine election, for God chose us to salvation from his own wrath even before the creation of the world. Let us thank God for the gospel call, for he sent a preacher to preach to us the gospel of his sovereign grace. Faith comes by hearing the gospel. Let us thank God for regenerating us, that we may be able to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Let's thank God for our eternal salvation. And let's thank God for our families, our husbands and wives and children. Let's thank God for this country and all the freedom we enjoy in this place. Let's thank God for the Church of Jesus Christ here and in heaven. Let's thank God for our pastors. Let's thank God for the scriptures in which we see the face of Jesus Christ and the glory of God in the face of Christ. Bible says, be joyful always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God. We want to speak to you from 34th chapter of Ezekiel. Let us open it. And the first point is the worthless pastors. God delegates his pastoring responsibilities to human leaders. God speaks of them in Ezekiel 34. Matthew 23 and Jeremiah 23. God speaks of worthless, useless pastors. God is not pleased with most of them. Ezekiel tells us that they became worthless. Instead of caring for the sheep, they abuse them, slaughter them for their own purposes. They eat their sheep. The sheep are in their mouths. Verse 10. In this chapter, the word shepherds, in the plural, is found at least 9 times. Let me read it to you. As you look into it, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, woe to the shepherds of Israel, who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals. But you do not take care of the flock. And verse 4, very important, you have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains, and on every high hill they were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. That's a charge. Jesus spoke the same way of the shepherds of Israel. In Matthew 23, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, the priests, the scribes, the elders, instead of blessings, the Lord Jesus Christ pronounced woes upon these pastors. Let's turn to Matthew 23. Seven woes, beginning with verse 13. Woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the kingdom of heaven on men's faces. They refuse to preach the gospel. They refuse to use the key to open the door of the kingdom that people may come into it and experience righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Verse 15, woe to you teachers of the law, you hypocrites. Verse 16, woe to you blind guides, you say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing, and so on. Verse 19, you blind men. Verse 23, woe to you teachers of the law, Pharisees, hypocrites. Verse 25, woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, hypocrites. Verse 27, woe to you teachers of the law, Pharisees, hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs. Verse 29, woe to you teachers of the law, Pharisees, you hypocrites. You build tombs for the prophets and decorate the graves of the righteous. And you say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have taken part with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. Verse 33, you snakes, you brood of vipers. The Lord of the universe, the head of the church, pronounces curse upon preachers who will not care for the sheep. Recently, you read an article concerning a very mega church in this country. Vast numbers of people are crowding into the church. And the church conducted a study to find out how good a job was doing. They were not preaching the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Worthless shepherds! Useless shepherds! This is the story throughout the world in churches. The people are not provided for, protected, directed, strengthened, sought out, healed. The people are used and abused for the advantage of the pastors. People are used and abused for personal power and wealth. And people come to church not to hear the word of God, but to be entertained. And the pastors carefully pick their pockets, and they go out empty of their pockets and their hearts. God says, I'm against the shepherds. Woe unto them. The sheep are scattered. They are famished. They are wounded. They are sick. They are killed by wild animals. Let me say, to have worthless pastors, worthless shepherds, is more dangerous than to have no shepherd. Jesus himself said in Matthew 9, verse 36, when he saw the crowds, He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. These worthless shepherds are called thieves and robbers, hirelings. Jesus said so in John chapter 10. Paul called them savage wolves. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20, verse 29 and 30. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth, the gospel, in order to draw their disciples after them. And St. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 11, these shepherds preach a different Jesus, a different gospel, and they speak of a different spirit. They are servants of Satan and not true ministers of the gospel. In Galatians 1, Paul pronounced a curse on them. Let them be anathema, eternally condemned. For they entertain, they preach psychology, they refuse to preach the gospel of life. They speak of materialism. These pastors are parasites. They are worthless, false shepherds, called and anointed by the devil. Jeremiah spoke about them also in the classic passage, Jeremiah 23. Turn to it and let me read it to you. Verse 1, woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture. Verse 10, the prophets follow an evil course and use their power unjustly. Both prophet and priest are godless. Even in the temple I find their wickedness, declares the Lord. Therefore, their path will become slippery. They will be banished to darkness, and there they will fall. I will bring disaster on them in the year they are punished, declares the Lord. Verse 14, and among the prophets of Jerusalem I have seen something horrible. They commit adultery and live a lie. They have nothing to do with the truth of the gospel. Verse 16, do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord says he will have peace. Verse 18, but which of them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see or hear his word? Who has listened and heard his word? Verse 21, I did not send these prophets, yet they have run with their message. Verse 22, but if they had stood in my counsel, they would have proclaimed my words to the people. Verse 30, therefore, declares the Lord, I'm against the prophets who steal from one another words supposedly from me. Yes, declares the Lord, I'm against the prophets who wag their own tongues and yet declare, the Lord declares. Indeed, I'm against those who prophesy false dreams. They tell them, and lead my people astray with their reckless lies. Yet I did not send or appoint them. Last verse, verse 39 and 40. Therefore, I will surely forget you, shepherds, worthless liars. Therefore, I will surely forget you and cast you out of my presence along with the city I gave it to you. And your fathers I will bring upon you everlasting disgrace, everlasting shame that will not be forgotten. The Lord is against the false shepherds. He judges them. He destroys them. He punishes them. He curses them because they refuse to preach the word of God, which alone gives life to the dead. The second point is, and the Lord says from verse 11 on, I will pasture my sheep. And you find the word I will so many times. I will, I will, I will, I will. God, sovereign God, almighty God, all-wise God, all-powerful God, all-compassionate God, God of the covenant will shepherd his sheep. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. Read it and receive great comfort. I'll take care of you. I'll save you. I will search for you. I will find you. I will bind up your wounds. I will heal you. I will strengthen you. I will shepherd you. I will feed you. I will bring you into your own land, and I'll give you the finest pasture. It's interesting to study. The Lord will take care of his sheep. Notice it says, my sheep. Even that appears about 15 times. My sheep, my flock. C.H. Spurgeon says, not my swines, but my sheep. My sheep. My sheep by creation, my sheep by election, my sheep by redemption. My sheep. The shepherds do not own them. I own them. They belong to me. You do not belong to the worthless shepherds who abuse us and consume us. They are hirelings. They are self-focused, not sheep-focused. When the wolf comes, they run. They are looking for their pay, that's all. Sheep belongs to God the Father from all eternity. Turn with me to Gospel of John, the 17th chapter, which is the great prayer of the high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ, wherein you are mentioned several times. Us belonging to God the Father from all eternity, whom he gave to his Son that he may die for them and save them. Verse 2 of John 17. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given to me. Fathers, we are Father's donation to the Son, that we may be saved. Now look at verse 6. They were yours, you gave them to me. Look at verse 9. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me from all eternity. And verse 24. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. I said, let's thank God for our pastor. That has to do with God the Father, who loved us and chose us and gave us to Christ that he may redeem us. We belong to the Father. Father owns us. Father loves us. Father cares for us. Father saves us. Father provides for us. Our Father in heaven meets our every need every time and every day. We ought to be ashamed when we are afraid and anxious. the Father will never fail, neither his Son Jesus. Jesus never fails. We are the sheep of the Father given to his Son to shepherd us. And Jesus Christ is our shepherd. He lays down his life for the sheep. John 10. Jacob and David were shepherds. They risked their lives for the sheep. But there is only one shepherd in God's universe who gave his life for the sheep on the cross of Calvary. That ought to tell you, forget about worthless shepherds. God the Father is our shepherd. God the Son is our shepherd. And we are in good hands. But there is only one shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. Jesus Christ is our good shepherd, our great shepherd, our chief shepherd. He loves the sheep and cares for the sheep. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It is Jesus in John 10 said, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. That means I love my sheep and my sheep love me. And then he said, my sheep hear my voice. That is, believe me. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you the Father's sheep? Are you one of Christ's sheep? Do you hear Christ's voice in the gospel? Do you follow him? Do you love his word? And if you do, then you have great comfort, great consolation, great joy. You have life eternal. No one is able to snatch you out of the hand of Christ or the hand of the Father. You are eternally secure. Neither death nor life is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You have nothing to fear, nothing to worry. No bear, no wolf, no lion can snatch you out of Christ's almighty hand, out of Father's sovereign hand. Secure forever, sir. So you read it and you find out, I myself will shepherd them. I myself will care for them. I myself will search for them. I myself will bring them out and bring them in. I myself will save them. I'll make them a blessing. I'll send showers of blessing upon them. I myself will be with them. I myself will break the bars of iron, set them free. So open it, chapter 34. The Father himself will search for you, find you and bring you home to enjoy eternal fellowship with him. Look at verse 11. I myself will search. Let me tell you, when he searches, he will find. Maybe you are buried in a crag of a rock, but you'll be found. He is the sovereign, omniscient, almighty, all-wise God. Verse 12, I will rescue them. Verse 13, I will bring them out and bring them into rich pasture. Verse 13 and 14, rich pasture. What do you think it is? Rich pasture of the gospel, of the word of God that gives you life. Rich pasture that nourishes your soul. The that satisfies you forever. Verse 14 and 15, I will cause them to lie down in green pastures. Lie down. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Rest, rest, rest. All weariness is gone. Rest has come in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 16 and then verse 4. What the false shepherds fail to do, the Father himself does. He binds up the wounded. He heals the sick. He searches, he finds, he rescues, he saves. Don't worry about the false shepherds. Get out from all churches where false shepherds are. And you will be guided to that place where God himself will shepherd you. There is always a church throughout the world where God's people exist. And they are shepherded and cared for by God-appointed preachers of the gospel. Yes. Who will not use or abuse or kill or eat them. But they lay down their life for the sheep. Verse 22, I will save my flock. I will save. God the Father will save. That's why his name is Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Not in their sin, from their sins. That's true salvation. Saves us from our sins and gives us such hatred for sin and such love for the way of righteousness. Verse 23, I will place over them one shepherd. One shepherd. There are many peoples of the world, but they all have one shepherd. Turn to John chapter 10 and verse 16. The Lord Jesus understood this. Chapter 34, Ezekiel. And he says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be what? One flock and one shepherd. One shepherd. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, one shepherd. Father is the shepherd. Now Father appoints Jesus Christ to be the shepherd. Here called David, by which it meant David's son. One shepherd for all sheep of God, the unity of the body of Christ. One shepherd called David, that is David's son, Jesus Christ. One shepherd, again called my servant, one who will never fail to obey the Father, one who will always fulfill the will of the Father, which included the horrible death on the cross. And he said, not my will, but thine be done. And he moved toward Calvary. There he died. He died for our sins and raised for our justification, sir. Hallelujah, my servant. Isaiah saw this and in 53rd and verse 11 says, my righteous servant shall justify many. Righteous servant. Unrighteous servant cannot justify anybody. No wonder St. Paul said, I resolve to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified, that is the person and work of Jesus Christ for the salvation of wicked sinners like us. My servant, sir. And then this servant is also called my prince, my king. Jeremiah 23, let's turn to it. Jeremiah 23, verse 5 and 6. The same idea Jeremiah is saying. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days Judah will be saved. And Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. The Lord, our righteousness. The Lord, our righteousness. Hallelujah. He's King, sir. That's why we confess, Jesus Kurios. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Lord means God and King. Yes. Who rules and reigns in your life. Who rules and reigns in the church. He is the one shepherd the Father appointed. He is my servant, but he is also King. And he is God. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And look at verse 30. And here it is, we read. It is because of him that is God the Father, that you are in Christ Jesus, who Christ Jesus has become for us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Jesus Christ is our righteousness. The Lord, our righteousness. The Lord, our sanctification. He who justifies us also sanctifies us, sir. He takes the pig and makes it a sheep, a lamb. He makes the bad tree, good tree, to produce good fruit. And if you are wallowing in the mud, don't say you are a Christian. There's something, some problem between your confession and your behavior. No, the Lord gave to us one shepherd, Jesus Christ, my servant, my King, who justifies us and cleanses us. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become nothing less than the righteousness of God in him. He is my prince, he is my king. He governs us justly. He protects us, provides for us. He rules us in righteousness. Woe unto that Christian who doesn't like the rule of Jesus Christ. And look at verse 25 of chapter 34. I will make a covenant of peace with them. And this is the new covenant. This is the covenant that changes us. This is the covenant by which God writes his laws upon our hearts. He gives us a new heart. He puts a new spirit in us. He sends the Holy Spirit upon us. And he forgives us all our sins. Therefore, there is peace. Peace. Our guilt is gone. The wrath of God is removed. Hallelujah. Peace, sir. Covenant of peace. Not based on our righteousness, but the work of Jesus Christ alone in our behalf. Verse 26. In the Hebrew text, it is this way. I will make them a blessing. I am a blessing, sir. You are a blessing. Blessing to God, blessing to the church, and blessing to the world. Praise. Hallelujah. I'm a blessing, sir. I'm a blessing. I used to be a curse, but I'm a blessing. Who made you a blessing? God made me a blessing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God made me a blessing. I'm a blessing to my wife. I'm blessing to my children. I'm blessing to my grandchildren. I'm a blessing, sir. I'm a blessing in the morning, in the noontime. I'm a blessing in the middle of the night. I'm a blessing. When I go, I'm a blessing when I come. I'm a blessing in the city. I'm a blessing in the country. And not only that, it says, I will make his environment a blessing. My house is a blessing. My land is a blessing. Everything that I own is a blessing. Heavenly Father, What you have done is marvelous in our eyes. This is why it's amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. We were cursed, we were ungodly, we were unjust, we were enemies, we were sinners. But, oh God, you made us children of God. You made us a blessing. Lord, bless your people. Help us to revel in our new dignity and in our new status above all. Help us to thank our pastor, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Amen.